Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like a little delicacy for
me. How about saltines?
Well, oyster, same brand, like
how about,
same deal.
How about the Ritz cracker?
No, not in soup. They're for...
How about those Captain John wafers or whatever those are called?
Captain's wafers.
I love the Captain's wafers.
What were the ones that had like the sour cream and chives or whatever in the middle?
You don't put that in there.
Disgusting. No, oyster crackers, the little premium brand circular oyster crackers are the best. Don't you think, though, this particular person who loves chicken noodle soup takes so much time opening all the crackers that the soup gets cold?
That's a good point. And he won't start eating it until the crackers are in.
And then does he want them to get soggy? I like the crackers before they actually get soggy.
Yeah, I want a hard cracker.
I want a little, like,
I want a crunch cracker, exactly.
Right. I'm opening more crackers as the soup goes down.
Right, you're
reloading.
Thank you. This guy's putting all the munitions in.
You know what?
It's
the same thing that I see people do? You can't drown cereal in milk.
Oh, no.
You don't want a soggy ass cereal.
You want a nice
You put
bit
a
of
little
crunch.
Bit of milk in there.
Perfect.
And then, okay, now you add a little bit of more, maybe two or three bites later.
A little bit of more?
A little bit more milk. Sorry, I'm sick right now. Anyways, and I've got my nipples pierced. And somebody tweeted me, I think disparagingly, and said, this is something Howard Stern would do.
Getting his nipples pierced?
Well, somebody maybe on his show, or just like the Howard Stern
They'd make
universe.
Baba Booey do it.
I'm fine with that.
Oh, yeah, Howard Stern. What did he make in radio? About $800 million?
Oh, you did something, yeah.
You
exactly.
did something that the literal greatest radio talk show host of all time did? How dare you?
Yeah. All right, so Hayward there saying it's not X's and O's, right?
It's Jimmy's and Joe's.
And it's about them making plays and all that stuff, and putting it on their shoulders and not the coaches. Mm-hmm. Okay, you want that, obviously, from a captain that just doesn't try to obfuscate blame and pass the buck and all that. He's making a ton of money.
You don't want it to sound like it's infighting now. And the coach and players are at loggerheads.
Yeah, and also he already had like a mini tiff with Tomlin over the meaning of the word fight from Sunday's game. Hayward said they didn't have fight, and Tomlin said, I wouldn't say it was fight. It was like, what's the definition of the word sex kind of debate between
Wasn't
Hayward
that Bill Clinton
and
saying
Tomlin.
It depends on what your definition
yes.
of is?
Yeah, like one of those weird things.
Yeah.
Here is, I think, something that I absolutely put on the player and not the coach. Watt's unwillingness to move around. And when I think about, you know, what they've done scheme-wise, because I don't agree with Hayward all the way. I think Hayward's just trying to, you know, be diplomatic here in his answer. I do think some of it is absolutely scheme. Part of the problem is when Brooke Pryor asked the question, do you think the defense is too predictable? Well, it's awfully predictable with TJ because we know where he's going to be. And every year, it's like a broken record. We get the same thing when the season ends. TJ vows to move around. TJ tries to move around in practice and in training camp.
Does he? Steelers doesn't like it.
Steelers insiders tweet out as fast as they can, look at this. Watt's on the opposite side or Watt's up the middle and all this stuff. And then we get to the actual games and he's in his natural spot. So the coach, Mike Tomlin, obviously could pull rank and say, hey, go play somewhere else. But I'm more like if I'm picking a bad guy there, my opinion, it's Watt.
Well, here's the worst part about Watt not wanting to move around. You could get away with it when you were TJ Watt, when you were at your best, like physically. 26-year-old TJ Watt is faster than 30-year-old TJ Watt. Now I think him not moving around and at least trying to give a defense a different look, he's easier to block, Pony. How many times did you see him just get single blocked up?
So you think Watt's actually fallen off this year? You don't think it's just...
Well, I think that's all. I mean,
you don't think it's quarterbacks getting the ball out faster. You think he's actually a diminished player?
Would you say that TJ Watt's first step was probably his best weapon? He was a high effort guy. First step was great. He would get off the line quick. He would beat guys with speed. That's what I always felt like was his main thing. He was a technician too, but he was a speed guy. I don't think he's as fast.
Do you think he's... I don't look at him as just a speed guy. I look at him as a guy that pretty much had everything in his bag.
I don't think he was ever like a pure power rusher. Garrett bulldozes
people. Okay, not a pure power rusher, but I think a hybrid of those things. I think that's what makes him special.
That's probably why he dropped in the draft because they
couldn't figure out if he was one or the other.
I think the speed was always his calling card, and I don't think the power was ever great enough to make up for it when the speed would start to fail a little. And right now, he looks like a guy who has lost a step. And guys... when guys get locked up on him, he has not shown an ability, in my opinion, to like bulldoze right through them and go power rush.
Well, there's definitely been nagging injuries and things that haven't always put him out for a long time. I know he had a torn pec and he had that knee thing cleaned up. But he's had like the ankle injury last year where he's missed time. And did it 100% heal? Is that a non-issue? Either way, I mean, you have guys take physicals and you put them through a battery of tests before you give out the most lucrative deal ever given to a non-quarterback in the NFL. So you want your doctors to say, yeah, everything's good. And I'm assuming they did, or at least satisfactory to what the Steelers wanted to hear before they gave him a big contract. So I can't use pre-existing injuries or nagging injuries as an excuse. But he's in his 30s, and sometimes a lot of pass rushers, great ones, age more gracefully.
I think guys who are power-based rushers tend to age more gracefully.
But
I will stand on that opinion.
Fair enough. But here's the analogy I would make for Watt. Very few baseball hitters, very few hitters who are switch hitters are just as proficient from the left side as they are the right side. There's usually a side of the plate they swing from where they were maybe a more natural hitter.
Walker was always a better lefty hitter than a righty hitter, for example.
But you still do it for a reason. Because you'd rather face righty on lefty than face lefty on lefty, even though you're not a great major league right-handed hitter. That's what I would tell him about moving around. We get it, man. You're not as good, but you're still good. You're not unplayable, and it keeps the offense honest, and it allows for us to do more things. So suck it up and do it. And if they've had that speech with him and it's fallen on deaf ears, and he just says, no, I don't feel comfortable doing it. Well, then that's really on Watt. I think some of the blame goes back to the coaches if they're like afraid to have that conversation with him because he has told this position coach and he's told Terrell Austin maybe and even Mike, hey, I want to be over that right tackle. And they're like, okay, fair enough. You're the star player.
But he's not good enough.
You get star player dispensation.
He's not good enough right now. He's not productive enough. Like, maybe you give him that choice at the beginning of the season, but if he's not producing, you tell him, we're the coaches, you're the player. Sorry, this is just how it's going to be. I would also say, to go back to what Cam said originally, because also Watt just lining up there broadly makes, as you just alluded to, the whole defense more predictable. I think when you've got a bunch of guys that are supposed to be key contributors that are over the age of 30, your scheme has to be a little bit more disguised and everything else. You can't rely on just saying athlete for athlete, we're going to be better than you, which I think is part of their problem.
That's part of the allure of having veterans is that they know more and their football IQ.
And so you can disguise more.
Exactly.
That's my point. So, and I was going to get around to saying that even more in this case. You know, Cam can say all he wants, and Cam's like an interior power guy, so I think that's why he's aged so gracefully. He can say it's not scheme, it's us. But when you are relying on so many older players, your scheme needs to be more interesting, your scheme needs to be more varied. And guess what? If your scheme is predictable and your players aren't all elite young guys across the board,
yeah,
that makes it a lot easier for a team to say, well, yeah, we know what's coming and we can actually plan against it. And sometimes that might not work for them. If you've got a bunch of 25-year-olds who are flying around at a high, you know, ultra high velocity, when you got guys who might be like Jalen Ramsey's 88% of Jalen Ramsey at his prime, that makes the difference, man.
Donnie, you think it's a valid criticism of what? They're struggling right now. The coaches have come out and said he doesn't want to do it. He wants to play on that one side.
Yeah, I mean, because clearly with the exception of what, like one game this year against New England, a little bit in that Cleveland game, he's been silenced by pretty much every team that he's faced. Like, you have to start adapting and trying different things.
But maybe to Malzi's point, it's also a little bit of old dog, new tricks. He hasn't done it. at any point in his career now when he's 30, you're going to ask him to do something different? I guess corners become safeties.
Yeah, so I mean, I would also throw it out there like, hey, like, you have been one of the most feared pass rushers in the game for X amount of seasons.
Look at your numbers now.
You're starting to fall off pretty clearly behind guys like Micah Parsons, who we just saw.
Because you've changed your tune.
Miles Garrett, Aiden Hutchinson.
The numbers don't lie, Donnie, and they spell disaster for you at sacrifice.
But I do have to point this out about Donnie and give him a chance to amend his opinion, which is great. We do that all the time in this business. Even though the sacks weren't there, Donnie did say after the quarter point of the season, he thought Watt was playing like the Steelers' best defensive player. Obviously, you've shifted on that, right? Like, you don't think...
I really don't think anybody deserves that, but I mean, I would give it to Herbig, even though apparently he just can't get on the field.
Right.
Whatever the hell's happening there.
Yeah, man, trying to find a guy, if they had to do a defensive MVP...
Well, Watt had...
Good luck finding somebody.
Hold on, so coming off the quarter pole, which we did at
four games...
He
had just
come
off, like, his two best
two
games.
Two sacks, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery against the Patriots in a game where all they did was force fumbles. An interception, return for 13 yards, and a sack against the Vikings. That's his high watermark, man. That's like most of it. That's 80% of his season production in, what, seven games or whatever.
You know what else I would push back on from people? I've heard some defenders of Watt say, well, sacks are down across the league. Okay, well then affect the game another way. Make a big tackle for a loss. You know, force a fumble. Bat down a ball, intercept a pass. He can still do those things. I mean, it's baked into the salary. You expect him to do those things.
You're a playmaker. You're just going to affect games. And that's probably the biggest thing. He's not, Donnie, is that not more alarming than the lack of sacks? Like, Parsons did not have a great statistical game against them, right?
But he was just all over the place.
You would agree that he was notable on almost every play.
100%.
He's flying around. They've got to account for him. Garrett was not very good against them, but like, they schemed everything away from him, and it just worked.
I concede it now. Parsons is a better defensive player than Watt.
Tony, Garrett is too. That's harder for you to concede. He just eclipsed Watt's sack total for the year in one effing game. I don't care that they lost
badly.
Donnie,
do you agree with that?
He's better.
He's clearly better.
I know.
He's clearly better. Here's the biggest worry about Watt to what Pony just said. When that Packers game was done, I sat there and I thought, not only did he not like show up on the stat sheet, he wasn't noticeable. He was just a guy on a defense where he is paid to be anything but.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Sorry, I got distracted at the very end of that because Adam Sandler's doing stand-up in Seattle. So they had a costume party among Seattle Kraken players and staff, and they all dressed up like characters from Adam Sandler movies. Donnie, this is catnip for you, man. This is like...
Who tweeted that out?
This is from BR Open Ice, Bleacher Report's hockey feed. You got to see it. It's tremendous. Some people just went as him in his basketball, like pickup basketball, big baggy shorts.
So they went as real life Sandler.
Some did. But others went as characters.
Let's see here.
Yeah, we got some 51st dates worked in there.
Who's the guy? What character is the mesh shirt guy?
That is that's Sean Astin's character in 51st Dates. He's the brother of Drew Barrymore.
Oh.
I love that. Donnie knows
all this. Steroids.
Is that Drew Barrymore then?
No, that's supposed to be Rob Schneider.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because they do like that. They make that videotape for her because, you know, the memory's bad.
I actually kind of liked that movie when it came out.
That's a good one.
The guy dressed as him for the Wedding Singer's great. The guy, actually, the best one in this big group shot is the guy dressing as his caddy from Happy Gilmore, man. It's like note perfect.
I like the Scuba Steve one. I see him hiding in the background there. I don't know who that is with the crack.
Did anyone dress as him from Uncut Gems and they just walked around like jittery like they were addled all day?
I don't see that one. I'm looking at the whole group picture here, so I do like the Billy Madison get-up, which is like that cutoff sweater.
Yeah. In related news, Donnie has placed a bet on the Seattle Kraken to win this year.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your Stanley Cup. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. There's Steve Palazzolo, 33rd team. Steve, did you just see the pictures of my pierced nipples, or were you watching along last night?
I was unable to watch along. I saw the pictures. Sam actually sent the pictures to me.
Yeah. What was the
proud of you, man?
What was the analysis of it? Thank you.
We broke it down on the podcast today. We gave you kudos for following through. We gave you kudos for raising money for a great cause. So you did a great job.
You want to hear something wild? People have asked me all day about the nipple piercings and the pain. I got a flu shot about 3 hours ago. That's kicking my ass more than the piercings.
The flu shot.
Yeah. He's flu shot's got me down great. In the dumps. I got 101 temperature right now.
Steve, we think that the flu shot might be actually helping his nipple pain here, because it's one of those deals where, like, you might be hurting in one way, and then if you hurt some other body part worse, then you stop thinking about the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you might need to double down. If the Steelers lose to the Bengals again, you get another flu shot, maybe.
Well, he'll just be Mr.
Here's
be
a new
Mr.
one.
Anti-flu.
Here's a new one, Steve, and I did not put up anything on this game because I've, for now, temporarily learned my lesson. I think the Steelers are going to beat the Colts on Sunday. You agree?
I said that on our show today. Isn't this the Mike Tomlin special?
Here we go.
Isn't that the Mike Tomlin special? Disappointing Thursday night. About a half a game of some, you know, excitement against the Packers. Now they're down. They're down and out. And you're going to beat the Colts. Because the Colts, you know, they're just a dome team. They can't handle the wind in Pittsburgh. They've played one outdoor game all season. It was in Tennessee.
That's what I said. They haven't played a road game yet this year. LA games are sterile. Neutral fields.
I hate that you and I have the same analysis on this game. It wasn't really my analysis, but it feels like a Tomlin game, doesn't it? Like they're going
to
win.
No, not to Donnie and Mulsey.
At some point, Steve.
Donnie said they're going to get bludgeoned.
I understand, as I'm sure you do, like the NFL's weird, and that's why when we all look at the lines, we scratch our heads at least one of them every week, etc. And it's because odd outcomes happen every time. But this just feels like at some point the Tomlin mojo, like the voodoo that he has where he somehow will drag a team to 9-8 has to run out. And I'm just looking at the ages of some of the guys they are still counting on that defense and wondering if this isn't the time where it really starts to slide.
Yeah, I mean, look, the reality is they've underachieved on the defensive side of the ball, right? So there's a part of me that's like, hey, this is the one that Tomlin pulls out. The other part is definitely, hey, I disappointed in the defense, the middle of the defense. I saw Donnie's projection, 18 catches or whatever for Tyler Warren.
That was actually first half.
First half.
Yes.
Yeah, and then they slowed out in the second. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why the Colts should not be stopped on Sunday offensively, and then, you know, Pittsburgh's going to make some big plays defensively. The Colts aren't great defensively, so they're going to have to hang in a shootout, which they were able to do against Cincinnati, which they were able to do against the Jets, but maybe they're not able to do against, you know, some better defenses. So, yeah, like I get the angst against where the Steelers are right now and, you know, where they're trending.
Tomlin's point that he made at his Tuesday press conference that I said to Chris, it looked like when he said it, there was a little bit of a twinkle in his eye. Like he thought he had something on the Colts or knew something about the Colts that other people didn't. But he pointed out, look, this has been such a front-running team. They get up on teams. They score early. They force a bunch of turnovers. Basically, what happens if we get a couple stops in the first quarter and the turnover game is even? What happens then? You buy that?
That's the weird thing about Tomlin, right? Like, why does he roll into a press conference and be like, oh, I'm afraid of Joe Flacco, when no one else is afraid of Joe Flacco? And then he was right. He should have been afraid of Joe Flacco, except, you know, you should have been afraid of Joe Flacco,
yes,
pony.
I know.
But, I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm saying about Tomlin. He always has this sense and this feel. Why are the trends so consistent with him? That's what I'm trying to figure out, right? I go from this like play-by-play hardcore analysis to like Mike Tomlin's just going to be 9-8. He's going to win a game he's not supposed to. He's going to lose a game he's not supposed to. It's all going to even out at the end. Doesn't matter if it's Aaron Rodgers, Duck Hodges, or Kenny Pickett. It's all the same.
Donnie, isn't that basically how you feel about them? That's what's going to happen? It's all going to even out at the end of the year, and they'll find their way to be 9-8 or 10-7?
Yeah, by hook or by crook, they'll get there.
Well, see, I think eventually...
He's the Seinfeld episode. He's going to even out.
I don't know. I'm starting to think with the combination of their schedule and the age of the defense that they're reliant on here, I think their offense is better than it's been in a while, Steve, because they actually have shown the ability to score points in bunches at times, and Rodgers has been, I think, reasonably sharp. It just feels like eventually you have to concede that it's not going to keep going this way, and this definitely feels like the year that that's going to happen. I mean, they're relying on guys. They brought in secondary help, where I think you would agree with me, you've got to be able to run to play defensive back of any kind in this league, especially corner. I think the four guys or so they brought in were an average age of like 30 and a half. That's when some of these dudes at corner are either moving to safety or getting put out to pasture, and they're begging Darius Slay to play like key reps for them on the outside.
I still thought it would work, not just because of the name value. I still thought that the three corners would work and the pass rush would work. I thought they might lean into the fact that they have three legitimate edge rushers and not just rotate them, and that they'd give Herbig more time.
Do the Steelers gain an advantage by moving Watt around the way that the Green Bay Packers do with Parsons and Cleveland does with Garrett, Steve, in your opinion?
I on third down, absolutely. Look, I mean, I know Pittsburgh's been doing things the same way since the 90s, right? Essentially, here's a left outside, the Madden, left outside linebacker, right outside linebacker, and they don't change, and it went from a 3-4, and now it's a 2-4-5, you know, when they go to nickel. But yeah, like, you should be able to use those advantages, especially Herbig. Like, Herbig rushes well from Watt's side.
He doesn't play now.
In college. Yeah, I know. I would use all three. Of course I would use those guys. Like, part of my optimism with the Steelers was like, how do you block this front? The three edge rushers, Harmon coming in, Cam Hayward, good luck blocking all of those guys. But there's no pressure on the defense. When Parsons lines... We're all watching Sunday Night Football as a fan, right? You're watching, where's Parsons now?
You're right.
He's over the nose tackle. He's over the guard. Yep. He's stunting now. Like, you don't know where he is, and the offense is doing that same exact thing. The Steelers don't have that. And if there's one thing that's happening with this defense and why Tomlin was afraid of Flacco, this familiarity, right? Like, it feels like every offense is coming out of there, and they're like, we got this figured out. We know what's coming at us. The middle of the field's wide open, and they're not creating any sort of indecision in the offense right now.
Steve, Kyle Duggar. Donnie put out a viral tweet that's like, this guy's got nothing going for him. He's old. He's hurt a lot. He can't cover anybody. He'll fit right in with these Steelers. Is that kind of your analysis of him as a player at this point?
Box safety type. You know, I've never really trusted him in coverage. He's athletic. He's athletic enough to maybe cover tight ends, but that's all. Like, you have to be really athletic. You have to be, even Derwin James, who I think was built in a lab to cover tight ends, still struggles to cover tight ends one-on-one. So Duggar theoretically might have that skill set. He's never been great as like a zone player. He's an in-the-box, run-stopping safety type, which I know, you know, they might have a couple of.
Steve, if the Steelers...
For the record, Steve, you can't make the whole plane out of box run-stuffing safeties, even though I'm sure Mike Tomlin would love to do that.
Steve, if the Steelers...
Not in 2025, you cannot.
If the Steelers prove you and I prophetic and pull off this win, who will be the star of the game against the Colts on Sunday?
Oh, the star of the game. It's Boswell.
There you go.
It's 21-19, 7 field goals. Right? There's one of these games every year, right?
I thought it was going to be Sunday night, to be honest with you. It looked
It was on its way.
All right, Steve, great stuff, man. Thanks for giving us some love today. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. 33rd team, Steve Palazzolo. Check the Mike podcast.
You really did. I think you went up significant notches in several people's books by going through with this. I honestly believe there was a large...
Donnie, do you agree with that?
There was a large contingent of people who right up until they actually saw needle hit flesh thought you were going to back out.
Yeah, I do think there has to be a newfound respect for you after last night. Absolutely.
You think some pony haters have turned into pony lovers?
I mean, you're always going to have the people that hate no matter what, and they're just miserable, you know what.
I think even those people, broadly speaking, have now grudging respect for him. I've seen a lot of still hate the takes, respect the man.
Yeah, there is a group of that. People that are like, I can't stand the guy on the air. Everything he says pisses me off, whatever it may be, but it's hard for me to not respect that he went through this. He helped a very good cause.
Somebody said you put your flesh on the line for a bet or something, which I found very funny.
And how about the guys who were there that wanted me to get more piercings as if two nipples weren't enough? Dudes were like, all right, do your belly button next. Do your nose. Didn't Crowley say something about piercing butt cheeks or something along those lines?
I said maybe pierce your butt cheeks together. Like,
are you guys aware that Crowley did have his belly button pierced at one point?
Yeah, he told us that at lunch yesterday.
Yeah, what was the impetus for that?
This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life.
Well, it is Crowley.
He made a bet with himself that if he didn't lose a certain amount of weight by a date, he would pierce his belly button.
Like as a shame thing.
And when he fell short of it, he got his belly button pierced. Yeah.
Was he with his now wife then?
I think so.
Man, that's something I feel like you only do if you're in a committed relationship because you're not meeting anybody new as a single guy.
I know, but
that.
I think she knew what she was getting into with Crowley.
That's true. Glutton for punishment.
I don't think Crowley had her bamboozled at all. She signed up for Adam Crowley, man.
She signed on the dotted. Like, there's like a bunch of waivers. It's like you have to agree to the terms and conditions here. You are going to be with Adam Crowley.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't always count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with that juicy matchup between the Indianapolis Colts and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You've got Steelers Colts at 1, Chiefs and Bills 4:25 on Paramount Plus and KDKA on Sunday. That's some good football watching right there. Hopefully much better than the last couple of Sundays we've endured, not just because of the way the Steelers have played, but the league in general has put out some absolutely diarrhea quality games lately. Time for Donnie's football segment. It's called The Debrief, and it's brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Donald?
The Debrief, October 30, 2025. Possessions, pieces of memorabilia from the late Colts owner Jim Irsay will be auctioned off. I don't know if you guys saw this story.
I know he's a rock and roll,
tons of guitars
lover.
And stuff. Yeah, I
and think rock a lot and of, like, roll history.
A lot of custom guitars and stuff.
Yeah,
just
so
admirer.
What do you think out of this whole group? What the coolest item would be, or maybe the one that you would pick if you had to pick one?
Let's
he has several instruments and pieces of artifacts from the Beatles, Jimi Hendrix, Prince, Kurt Cobain, Eric Clapton. Oof. Also, Rumble in the Jungle championship belt, Malzi. The saddle used for Secretariat's Triple Crown run.
Wow.
And a 200-year-old copy of the Declaration of Independence.
Well, don't let Nicolas Cage anywhere near that thing.
How the heck is the Declaration of Independence? Okay, let me just ask a dumb question. How many copies are there?
I think a lot.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's like the real one, I think, is on display under.
I was
like, going to
say the
like,
real one
under,
cannot
like, thick glass
be
and whatever, but they have to like treat
in private it. Citizen hands.
No, it's not. But they have to like. I do think they have to like treat that thing like every so often to make sure it doesn't like dissolve, basically, because it's that old. So 200 years old. We're going back to about 1825.
Yep. Well, that's less impressive to me.
But that's still something that's, you know, well predating the Civil War.
Yeah.
I'm sure they made obviously made copies of it just, you know, in case that the original one somehow would have been destroyed.
That's what those patriots were thinking back then?
Well, hey, I mean,
now that you wrote this,
Gutenberg had
Jefferson,
a printing press, so they could probably have made a copy somewhat, you know. I don't think somebody just...
Like they walked down the hall here at work and...
Xeroxed it? I guess not. Yeah, it would be a little different looking, but...
There had to be somebody's job
to just be
who
the
just
official
had awesome penmanship.
Calligrapher.
Who just went out there and wrote a bunch of copies.
Well, that's why the printing press itself is so impressive, because before that, you had to just rewrite books by hand. You ain't making more than one copy of anything.
Great point. That guy, what's his name? Gutenberg?
Yeah.
Did an awesome job.
I mean, apologies to Steve, but he's the most famous Gutenberg. Anyway.
Yeah.
Of all those things...
The Secretariat saddle's pretty cool.
My top three are, I think, in this order. Three, Rumble in the Jungle Belt.
Mm-hmm.
I would, if it's Thrill in Manila, it goes up for me.
Right.
Two, Secretariat saddle. And one is like some Hendrix stuff. Like if I got a Jimi Hendrix guitar or something like that.
What if it's the one from Woodstock?
Probably.
Or do you think that's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Or maybe because Jimmy back then might have not have been the most responsible person. Maybe we don't know where that went. You know,
if I've got some sort of like thing that authentically can prove he played this on stage in 1969, that's number one for me.
You're a Hendrix guy, huh?
Definitely.
How about you, Don? I could kind of take him or leave him.
Is that bad?
Jimi Hendrix?
I mean, he's like the greatest guitarist of all time.
I'm not arguing that.
Guitar heads will tell you that that is not like necessarily a widely held opinion.
How
like
about Clapton?
I think Jeff Beck is the guy that most people say is the all-timer. Or, like, there are people who argue with you about Stevie Ray Vaughan.
How about Billy Van Halen?
Billy Van Halen?
Billy.
Eddie Van Halen.
Okay. You guys get what I'm saying.
No, I've heard people say, like, if you go, like, just...
I feel, okay,
real guitar
maybe,
nerds will give you Jeff Beck as their answer.
Right, but maybe I could use the word, like, iconic.
I think most influential.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone has ever made guitar playing look cooler than Jimi Hendrix did. The guy would play upside down, behind his back, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and remember, he did it all... Before the age of 27.
Well, he and Cobain, Janis Joplin, I mean, they were dropping like flies at 27.
You know who...
They all died so the Rolling Stones collectively could all just live
you know
to
who,
5,000.
You know who Rooney probably rolled his eyes at these owner meetings?
Ursay?
Ursay and Mark Davis. Don't you think?
Just out there living.
Don't you think he's looking at Mark Davis with his bowl cut? And from what I understand, there was a big... owners meeting at a Super Bowl, like an owner's dinner, and you've got caviar and just...
Mark Davis has all, P.F. Chang's.
No, he had like Papa John's.
Simple taste.
Yeah.
So I know that obviously the chief was known for his fondness for smoking cigars. You think Art ever went up to Jim Irsay and said, you know, that smoking will kill you. It's bad for you. The Surgeon General has a warning right there.
Art's just very buttoned up. You know, Art doesn't really let his hair down. From appearances. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there are people that know him.
The thought of Art walking into a room, and this is not like negative or positive, because I mean, obviously, hot-headed owner. Like, David Tepper, to me, is an embarrassment as an owner because he's like taking hats off of people's heads and acting like a rich, you know, like bully.
Throwing drinks at people.
Right, yeah, he's acting like a jackass in public. that's the truth. I don't even feel remotely bad saying that. It's very hard for me, though, if not impossible, to imagine Art Rooney II being angry, walking into a room, slamming the door behind him and like dog cussing somebody because he's mad at the job they're doing. I can't fathom it.
That's why Pompeiani, man, I just could not get him to fully commit on some of those comments last hour. But him saying things like Art's in the meetings with the coaches. Art's there. He's sitting there. I don't know. Bob didn't want to say how much he's interjecting, how much he's adding, how much he's contributing, but he's there. What's he saying? Is he making looks like Tomlin should feel safe enough where he basically isn't going to ever get fired, so why would he care? Like what the owner's reaction was in a meeting like that. I don't know. Like, it's just... the idea, I guess what I'm hinting at is the idea that Art's like up in his ivory tower and nowhere near the football team. I don't know if that is entirely accurate, if Pompeiani's saying things like he's in coaches' meetings.
Well, I think we've heard Florio say yesterday that he thinks Art's way more involved and that he just keeps that involvement obfuscated because doesn't want the credit, doesn't care about the credit, doesn't necessarily want the blame.
And
just, I don't know, the idea that he's like, Mike, have you considered switching to like a disguised, you know, cover two look here?
Well, I was just going to say, do you think that Art Rooney, in terms of knowing about football?
I think his son, Danny knows way more.
Fair enough, but do you think Art knows more than the average listener to our station? I mean, he knows bad football when he sees it. He knows good football when he sees it, but does he know actually how...
like how it gets made?
Yes.
I think to the extent that he obviously has access to and is privy to meetings and conversations that we cannot possibly have because he is everybody's boss, and he is a smart guy because
he's retained that and through osmosis learned it.
If he wants to go to Mike and put a play on the wall,
you think he can do that?
I know he can. He has to be able to.
Art can draw plays?
No. Not put a play on the wall like he's drawing it up. I mean, go to Mike, put on a play that he saw during the game, right?
Okay.
And say, Mike, why did this happen the way that it happened?
Yeah.
Mike is more or less obligated
to tell him
as employee to employer.
Yep.
Hey, this is actually why this went wrong.
But I think that Dan Rooney, his son, might actually be able to draw up plays.
I think he,
given his football background,
I think he can. I know people who know his son, and he absolutely can. He's way more of a football guy than his dad. It's kind of like the weird thing. Art's not a football guy, but his dad was. His son is. The Chief, I think we all venerate the Chief, but the Chief wasn't very good at running a football team, Pony.
Donnie, do you like cigars?
I mean, I'll have one, if offered every
Pony,
now
I think
and then.
We've had this conversation. I discovered probably 10 years ago I liked eating a lot more than I liked tasting my food a lot more than I like smoking cigars. You take, like, somebody's like, oh, there's nothing like a good, you know, quality stogie and a glass of bourbon or scotch and just a medium rare hunk of ribeye. Like, no, give me the ribeye. You can have the cigar. I don't even need the scotch while I'm eating it. I want to taste like the ribeye.
Did Donnie has a few drinks and smokes a random cigarette happen while you were down in Naples this past week?
No, it did not.
Not one heater.
No.
How about Donnie pops a Zin in or two?
Yeah, I had Zins with me.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.